Good evening. Today we start a new series of sermons based on Psalms and lessons from the book of Psalms. And this evening, before we come to the Lord's table, we are going to reflect upon Psalm 8. So if you have your Bibles, please have your Bibles. We are going to read from Psalm 8. The King David's encounter with God. Some people say this is the conversion of the King David. And it gives us a good picture of what happened to David at some points in his life as he reflects. Let me read verse 1, just part of verse 1. And then we just pause a little bit just to pray. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pray. Father, we want to spend this half an hour or more in your presence. As we come to your table, Father, we pray that we will be able to hear your voice, to sense your presence in your house. Help us to say, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. Amen. The King David make a reflection on this psalm. And the King David speaks as a convert. He speaks as one of us, somebody who believes in God. He speaks as a prophet. We have a prophecy here, and he speaks also as a theologian. He cannot speak as a priest because he is not a priest. But he knows the scriptures by heart. He knew the books of Moses. He's familiar with the first book of the Bible, Genesis. And in this psalm, he is quoting from the three first chapter of Genesis. He has in mind the creation. He has in mind the fall of man. And as he reflects, he comes to a conclusion. And this evening, I just want to make a short reflection about what he does. And the first thing is that, first of all, David looks back. He is there. He is looking after his sheep. He reflects back when he is 14, 15, 13, and he is looking after sheep. He's a shepherd. And when he was helping his father, on this day it was common for boys to be trained by their fathers for the future. It was part of a boy's training to do what their fathers used to do. So David is doing it. He's there, looking after sheep, plenty of time in the fields. And this is the basic of David's conversion. He's gazing out creation. And in this psalm, one scholar says, in this psalm, David marveled that the glorious Lord of heaven, whose name is excellent, should graciously use people in the earth's dominion. Gazing into the sky, it gives him an overwhelming sense of the insignificance of man. This is what he says in verse 4. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? So let's read the first verse together. Lord. The King James Version says, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Oh Lord, he's addressing to a God who is personal. Oh Lord, he is addressing to a God who is alive. Oh, a God who is with him. David is saying that you are my personal God. Oh Lord. We need to notice here that the first Lord, all are in capital letters. This is the divine name of God. This is the creator. This is Jehovah. This is the divine God. This is the one who creates. He's the I am, the self-existing God, the holy one. That is the first, oh Lord, Lord. The second one, Lord, is only the first letters is in capital, is the ruler. You are my ruler. You are the one who controls my life. You are my master, the one to whom I will give account. So he's saying, God, you are the one who are in charge of my life. And David said, how majestic, how excellent is thy name. The Hebrew meaning for this word is expensive. The name of the Lord is expensive in every possible way. Do you believe that? His name, the Jews, they don't say it. It's so holy. And he says, he is the one who set the skies in the universe. Why David comes to this conclusion is in verse 3. Shall we read it together? When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you had set in place. David sits there looking after the sheep and realizes the power of God. And he said, everyone is asleep, and yet you are working. Everything is quiet, and you are working. You are sustaining all. If this God can create and he can sustain it, he can keep everything in place. At night when mortals are resting, this powerful God is still at work. God is revealing himself in creation. He's revealing himself in the silence of the night. And David, from his heart, said, Lord, oh Lord, how majestic is your name. I was a teenager. I was a boy, 15, 14, 13. I was a baby. I was dreaming to be great. Then I realized I needed you, Lord. I want you to be my partner. I want to be with you. So he looks back, but now he looks down. The second thing in this psalm is that he looks down. He says, shall we read together verse 4? What is mankind? He looks back. Now he looks down. And he starts telling us what Genesis says. That the man was in charge of everything. He says in verse 6 to 8, you made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. All flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, all that swim the path of the seas. Can you imagine the job of Adam? He have to name every single bird. He have to name every single animal. Every single tree. What a wonderful, you know, he was in charge. He was in charge. That's what David is saying, Genesis. He's quoting from Genesis. And he says, man have the power to rule, to subdue God's creation. But sadly, this power was lost because of disobedience. David realized how mankind lives in chaos. He says, I am a man, a falling man, but goes back to Genesis 3, where we read about the Savior, the Redeemer. 1,000 years before the Messiah is announced, yes, the creation was perfect, but something happened. The fellowship between God and his creation was broken because of disobedience. But we have this wonderful verse in Genesis, because that's what David is quoting, Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. In chapter 3, verse 15, we have the first mention of the Messiah. And many scholars call proto-evangelism. That's what they call it. This is the gospel. He says in Genesis 3, verse 15, the enemy of our souls came and caused this darkness, this chaos. And then the Bible says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offsprings and hers. He will crush your head. The Redeemer will come and crush your head and you will strike his heel. What a wonderful promise. Then David knew about the promise that made to Abraham. We read this morning, Genesis chapter 12. In you I will bless all the nations. David knew that. All the nations are going to be blessing you, Abraham. You know, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who, you know, those who don't follow what you are going to teach, what you want to show. And he knew about the book of Job, the oldest book in the Bible. The book of Job says, I know my Redeemer lives. David knew. And he believed and said, what is man? What is man? I am an insignificant, I'm so small, I lie, I'm not loyal, I am prone to disobey God. Why should God should be so kind to me, Sir David, to us? Why? We all know it's because he loves us so much, because of his astonishing divine mercy, because his love for us. And David, he looks down, but he looks forward. He looks forward. Because David knows that God wants us to be in charge again. God wants to bless us again. Because this was the intention when he created man, but everything is chaos, darkness, because of sin, injustice, pride, selfishness, greed. They are destroying God's creation. However, we can be in charge again. David said, we can be in charge again. I want to be in charge again. And the first man, Adam, was in charge when he was has a personal relationship with God. Why we say that? When we read the verses in the Bible, one scholar says that the descriptions of God walking in the garden suggests the enjoyment of fellowship between him and Adam and Eve. You know, I always have this picture. You know, Adam is naming the animals and then God is walking. Hello, Adam, how are you? And I'm fine here. That's the very thing. That God is there. Here are naming these animals and this plant. And I'm having a good time. Okay. See you tomorrow. Fellowship. That's what the Bible, that's the picture we receive from the Bible. Fellowship. But this was broken because disobedience. Adam, you can do anything. You are in charge. But don't touch that tree. I don't know what kind of tree was that. Apples? I don't know. But we don't know. We don't go there tonight. But the thing is, disobedience. But we hear here that David wants to honor this awesome God. He wants to serve him. He wants to have a personal relationship with the God, creator of heaven and earth. And he finishes in verse 9. Shall we read together verse 9? Lord, amen. David explain his conversion. He says, encounter. He say, how great thou art. I want you to be with me. I want to serve you. There is an illustration that, you know, and I like this one, and then I say, I'm going to use it. And this is a pastor, Tim Keller. He says that in 1970, a Sunday school teacher, Sunday school teacher, you have a wonderful job to do. You need to be faithful to your children. I still remember my Sunday school teacher. And this pastor remembered her. And the teacher said, you know, and I laugh when, I don't know, when being there. And then the teacher said, let's assume the distance between the earth and the sun, 92 million miles, was reduced to the thickness of this sheet of paper. And now she said, if that's the case, then the distance between the earth and the nearest star will be the stack of paper 70 feet high. I don't know how she calculated, but that's what she said. And now she said, and the diameter of the galaxy will be a stack of papers 310 miles high. Then Tim Keller's teachers added, the galaxy is just a speck of dust in the universe. Yet Jesus holds the universe together by the word of his power. Now, finally, the teacher asked her students, now, is this the kind of person you ask into your life to be your assistant? Yes. That's our Lord. He holds everything in the palm of his hand. That's what David is looking around. Oh Lord, your greatness is seen in all the world. Oh Lord, how majestic is your name. The relation between God and mankind can be reestablished. By whom? By Jesus Christ. And that's what we read this morning. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Such a powerful verse. Such an offensive verse. He is the way. He's not a way. One of the ways. He is the way. It's only through him. Now here, before we come to communion this evening, David is the king, and perhaps he's saying, I never knew when I was 15, 14, 13, that this awesome God invited me to be his partner. I never knew when I was that age that I was going to be used by him. I never knew that the creator of heaven and earth was going to use me. Today, Jesus invites you and me to join him. To preach the word. To preach the word to all the earth. Come to Christ and yield to him your life. Let God use you and bless you as you proclaim with your life how great he is. David did it. And God loved him so much.